Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com. Delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to episode 120 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger, flying solo today. Frank is off for the weekend because it's his father's 60th birthday and they're on a golf trip. So nothing better than some father-son time. It's Frank and his brother with their dad. So we'll get the rundown of their golf. Frank, probably as I'm recording this right now, he's likely in the sand or the water. That's just, you know, that's my educated guess on where it is. I know the Saravallis love their golf, so that's awesome that they're having a little father-son time this weekend. Today on the DFO Rundown, we're going to quickly get into, the playoff position, some of the storylines. But then we have a very special guest. The first time we're going to Europe live on the Rundown, Vesa Rantanen will join us. He's a longtime sports writer, sports reporter for Ilta Samantha, one of the largest news outlets in Finland, and big news from hockey, but also, of course, with the war going on in Russia and Ukraine and how Russian oligarchs were a big part of Jokerit. And, you know, that Jokerit is, to explain it for North Americans, it's kind of like the equivalent of what, you know, the Maple Leafs or the Canadians were to Canadian hockey early on, and like the Rangers or the Red Wings, like just one of your staple teams that you're in. Little different because there's only 5 million people in Finland, but Jokerit was their national team. Like that was the team that everybody wanted. And it's been stained a little bit since they joined the KHL. They're no longer part of the KHL, but Vesa Rantanen, you will not want to miss him and what he talks about today. But before we get to that, of course, NHL playoffs, we are getting closer and closer. We got 2 weeks remaining in the regular season. And you see some teams, the East Conference picture, we know it's being clear as far as who's in, but the races, oh my goodness, the Rangers and the Hurricanes battling. They each have 7 games remaining. Carolina is 2 points up on the Rangers, who have pulled a little bit away from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Penguins aren't secured just yet as third, as the Washington Capitals are 5 points back, but the Capitals have 2 games in hand. You move to the Atlantic. Florida's locked in. They're finishing first. Toronto now has a 4-point lead on Tampa Bay with 8 games remaining. And Tampa is 3 points up on Boston. So the Atlantic looks fairly close to what we think it's going to be, but really the race is going to be Boston, Washington. What's going to happen in the wild card race? Where's Pittsburgh going to finish? So there's still no locks for sure on who's going to play. It looked a few weeks ago that Florida and Washington were locked in, but the way Washington, you know, slowly, you know, they're behind Boston now 3 points with the games at hand. You know, they could technically only be 1 back of Pittsburgh, so that race far from done. In the West, Minnesota and St. Louis are locked in a battle for home ice for second place in the Central. They're tied with 98 points. You've got 1 game in hand for Minnesota. Colorado, of course, is home and away finishing first. Same as Calgary. The Edmonton Oilers are now 4 points up on LA for second place, and they have a game in hand. But where the race really heats up is LA, 88 points. Vegas, 87 points, and Vegas has a game in hand. Also, Nashville and Dallas, the 2 wildcard spots, they're at 89. So the 2 wildcard spots and the final spot in the Pacific Division, they're all within 2 points of one another. So it's going to be a fantastic race down the stretch and a huge game this weekend as the Edmonton Oilers host Vegas. Edmonton shut out Nashville last night. Meanwhile, Vegas stomped the Calgary Flames, who they chased Markstrom from the game, for goodness sakes. So could Vegas make a late push? They have a tougher schedule than LA, but if Frank was here, he'd be like, points percentage. They're actually one decimal point percentage higher at 0.58 right now for Vegas. So technically, by Frank's world, Vegas is in today, but hey, they got to win their game in hand to pass the Los Angeles Kings, or lose in overtime, and then they would be tied. And Vegas would have the tiebreaker because they have more regulation wins. So there's lots to look for there. The Rocket Richard race, Leon Draisaitl scores a hat trick. He's got 19 goals in 20 career games against the Nashville Predators. He's within four of Austin Matthews. So I guess there's an outside chance. Of course, Draisaitl still in second place behind Connor McDavid. I think the Art Ross is likely McDavid's to lose, similar to Austin Matthews down the stretch. The Hart Trophy race, just when you think there's maybe someone running away with it, there isn't. It's still a hotly contested down the stretch. And I know the 2 weeks that we have remaining in the NHL is exciting to watch for playoff races, for standings, for trophies. Early in the year, people thought Patrice Bergeron was running away with the Selke. Well, look at Elias Lindholm's numbers now suddenly. He's right in that mix. Some might have him as a favorite. So there's lots of races to watch for. We'll get into all of that, maybe more on Monday. But now we are going to be joined by Vesa Rantanen in an interview that is not NHL focused, but very much hockey focused, with some political angles involving Hall of Famers. It's an interview you won't want to miss. Today on The Rundown, we are very happy to have, for the first time, live from Finland, we will have a guest, and we are going to be talking about Finnish hockey, and not only just hockey, but the impact, of course, of the Russian invasion on Ukraine and how that's impacted Finnish hockey. Of course, the big news earlier this week is that Jari Kurri has bought out some of the Russian oligarch shares of Jokerit, and what is that going to mean moving forward for that club, as we are joined by Vesa Rantanen. He is the editor of Ilta Sanomat, the largest news outlet in Finland. And Vesa, welcome to the DFO Rundown. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. And I'm really thrilled and I feel privileged to be part of this.
Oh, well,
thank you. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's great. You know, I have a friend here, a Finnish correspondent, Joni Nieminen, who's in Edmonton, and I've been talking to him over the years about the whole Jokerit and when they moved to the KHL. So I kind of want to go back for our audience a little bit. When Jokerit left Finland and then played in the KHL, the ownership, was there always Russian ownership? Like, is that what allowed Jokerit to go to the KHL?
Yeah, initially, well, I tried to put it shortly. We had a successful or notorious or known organization, hockey organization in Finland called Jokerit, and they had the owner, Haru Jallis Harkimo, who ran his hockey business and his arena business so bad that he was this close to go to the bankrupt. Okay. And he found, he was lucky enough to find a very lucrative buyer who was able to get him off the hook and give him a massive amount of money off the arena, which wasn't profitable, and off the team, which was not profitable either. The buyers were Russian oligarchs. Back in 2013, we had no idea. I mean, some investigative reporters and perhaps some scholars at the universities, etc., or very, very highly educated politicians perhaps understood that we were dealing with an evil empire. The situation during these 7-8 years has changed drastically right after the war started in February 24th. So I guess at the time, there were only few people who thought that, okay, this might not be a good idea to start dealing with Russian oligarchs. And I personally was completely against the whole deal because, first of all, they never told the real truth behind it. First of all, that the team had financial troubles and the arena had financial troubles. And the story was told that, okay, now there's finally a chance for a Finnish marquee team to go to the next level, like into the bigger league. It would eventually help Finnish hockey a lot. Partially, perhaps it was true too, because many players took steps forward when they had a chance to play in KHL. But honestly, the league wasn't that good. It still is not that good. And people who knew about the world knew that there's another meaning for the league to start with. Vladimir Putin started it out. He forced his loyal oligarchs, so let's say 20 super rich people who have stolen their money from the country with the help of Putin, he forced them to put it up because he wanted to have a force against North America. We know from history that how meaningful hockey as a sport has been politically to Soviet Union, even during the Stalin era. He wanted the country to establish a hockey program because, unlike soccer, it's impossible to take over the world because it's much more competitive. But in hockey, he saw a chance that we could, you know, stick our sword through the heart of capitalism. And that's why hockey became very influential, very important sport in Soviet era, and it still is the most popular sport. So Putin wanted to have a money league in Russia, and he wanted that for a couple of reasons. One, why Julius Caesar had Colosseum and gladiators to fight for people, because you have to provide top-level entertainment for your people so they are happy. And he wanted to lure all the Russian players from NHL. He wanted to fight with NHL and show that they can put up a better league than NHL is. Well, how did that go? Not well. Anyway, so, and also they wanted to expand the West. They tried to get, and they got teams from Latvia for a moment and from Czech for a moment too. They tried to go to Sweden, but Sweden, richer, probably more, how would I say, more confident country. They told them that, fuck off, we don't need you. We are not going to give any of our teams to you. But Finland, once again, because one owner had so much power within the circle of Finnish, in the Finnish power circles, he was able to convince important people that this deal has to be done, and it's a good thing for Finnish hockey, and that's how it was explained to us. But few of us knew that it has nothing to do with hockey. It's a move to save uneducated or not very bad businessman. We saved a very bad businessman with a free load of money that came from Russia. And we all know that money comes from the government always. And the government money is always political. We should have seen that. We should have known that. But we people in sports, we are probably the most easiest targets to become useful idiots, as they say, because we sort of kind of think that the sport itself, the game itself, is somehow sacred or more important. So we don't have to look behind the games or the leagues. We are just happy to see some hockey, which is really stupid. And I'm not very proud of my profession, not here in Finland or in North America, because the real story behind is always more important than any of the goals or highlights or whatever. But anyway, that's another discussion. So they started to play in KHL, and early on there was a lot of excitement back in 2013-14, I think was the first season, somewhere around there. And they were able to provide good solid nights in the big flashy arena, and they spent a lot of money to market the team, as the story early on was that the Jokerit will become Finland's team. It's like second national team, the great adventure in Russia, etc., etc. They tried to build the hype, but early on we realized that, okay, the opposing teams, there were only like one or two teams in KHL that people in Finland who are very hockey educated even knew their names, let alone their players. They went to see Kovalchuk when he played in Petersburg, and they went to see Moscow teams because they had, you know, Datsyuk played there, et cetera, et cetera. But other 25 plus teams were just teams that nobody knew or cared about. So they didn't draw too much attention. They didn't draw too much audience. And biggest news outlets like ours, I was editor at the time already, I felt hesitant to promote the league because the background was so dirty. We all know who have read the history that how Putin built his inner circle and his power, how he stole the whole country with the help of, as they call them, loyal oligarchs. And for warning, a couple of early on oligarchs were put in the jail, like Michael Khodorkovsky. Some people lost their all fortunes. And all the money in Russia comes from oil, gas, coal, etc. And all those companies are owned and run and controlled by government. And oligarchs who want to make money in or become an oligarch in Russia, so make millions, you have to deal with Putin. So all the money that you make, all the billions that Timchenko, who's the original buyer and a funder of Yogurt, he knows that I make $1 billion from oil, that I make deals with government. So I never own that money. It, half of it is Putin's and half of it is government's. And it's going to be used exactly as Putin wants. So anyway, knowing that background and knowing that money is dirty and knowing that the government is, it's not a friendly government. It's an evil empire. I always kept a arm's distance to Jokerit after very, very early on. We didn't cover it too much. I didn't want to be part of the hype because it wasn't fair. It wasn't open. They didn't tell the truth why the team was moved, etc., etc.
So, with that, so the last 8 years, how is it now? My understanding, reading a lot of your articles, and I was using Google Translate, so I'm not sure how accurate everything is, but you know, over those years, you know, it said that Jokerit lost like 80 to 90 million euros, which is over, you know, over 100 million Canadian American, even more American. Why were they losing all the money, and what was the purpose then of the lead of the team? Why did everybody keep funding it if it was just a money pit?
Because the KHL exists for political reasons, and it's funded from the pockets of the oligarchs who do exactly as Putin says. And the money that the oligarchs have is stolen from the government or the country or the people with the permission of Putin. So that's how they have, over the time when Putin has been in power, from official economy of Russia, reportedly has disappeared more than $1,000 billion. And that money is vanished from official economy. And that money is controlled and owned and put aside by the 20 or 30 loyal oligarchs that run the side economy in Russia. And that's their war chest, by the way. So whatever sanctions we make to Russia, it's not going to stop the war. So people just have to pull their heads out of the... I'm not going to say that word, but, you know, so the money, the so-called professional hockey league, KHL, it was never professional hockey league. It has nothing to do with the sport itself. It's run, it exists because of political reasons. It's soft power to the West. It opens you doors. I'll give you a better example. We all know Chelsea, Premiership Chelsea owner in London, Roman Abramovich, right? He's now trying to sell the team because, you know, the war, et cetera, et cetera. Roman Abramovich is one of the original oligarchs, already established his billion-dollar fortune during the Yeltsin former president time. And he's one of the few original oligarchs who have stayed within the power or the money during the Putin era. So he was put to London by Putin's orders to buy a team because the sport is easiest way to establish yourself. And he was the tunnel for the stolen money from Russia to be spread through the London economy. He's the most important vehicle that the stolen $1,000 billion were able to spread around the West. And was it clear? It's money laundering and nothing else. And KHL is money laundering too. So having a league that looks good, shiny pictures, great arenas, one Western team with it, it looks awesome outside. And Russia, like all the dictatorships, always use sport and a lot of money to use sport to make themselves look good. So if a Russian oligarch, this time Timchenko, who's Putin's right-hand man, and they call him his secret banker because he handles all the Putin's personal money, he bought the team from Helsinki to get a better position or to be accepted or, you know, open doors to him and his associates. And at that time, former owner Harry Harkimo, he was a friend, known friend of President of Finland. So Timchenko and other oligarchs and Kreml thought that, okay, buying Jokerit might be a way to get closer to the President of Finland. It doesn't work that way in Finland, thank God. We are a democracy, so that didn't work out. Anyway, the net losses year in, year out were between 10 and 15 million euros, which is close to 20 million Canadian euros. And majority owner, Harry Harkimo, who owned 51% of the team, never put in a penny. So Russian oligarchs covered all the expenses. And over the course of years, they lost altogether around 80 million euros, which tells you that it has nothing to do with professional sports. It has barely anything to do with sports itself. It was established for different reasons totally. And we don't know what those reasons were. Russian oligarchs now own an arena downtown Helsinki.
Yeah, the Hartwall Arena, correct?
Yeah, it might be full of Russian tanks in 2 years from now, for what we know.
Because isn't that, now the Hartwall Arena, and that kind of goes back to Jokerit, like, isn't that where they're supposed to play? And I know the announcement came out this week that Jari Kurri was...
They can't play there. So the Jari Kurri story is another story. So when Harkimo was forced to leave the ownership of Jokerit because he was a bad team owner and he's a very bad businessman. And the Russians finally realized, the oligarchs who get their orders from Kreml, always remember that oligarchs realized very soon in few years that all the goals they set with this whole maneuver to get close to the Finnish president, to establish, to become very highly touted Russian team owners with the team that whole country loves. None of those targets, they weren't able to achieve any of those goals because people didn't care about Jokerit. People kept writing about their losses. People that kept writing, we kept writing about the too close relationship with oligarchs who are with Putin, et cetera, et cetera. So they never achieved those goals. So they let majority owner Harry Harkimo go and paid him off and assigned Jari Kurri as his successor. Harry Harkimo got a couple of million euros for selling the team, but he never paid any of those debts. Jari Kurri became a puppet owner. He probably paid $1 or 1 euro. And another Russian oligarch, Vladimir Potanin, became a funder. And it was done differently this time. They had a sponsorship deal because Potanin owns a factory. What's the word? Nickel factory. Is that a word? Do you understand?
Nickel
factory in Finland, yeah. Which is a Finnish factory. Sure. So they put that Finnish by the book. Finnish factory to become a sponsor of Jokerit. And they kept on covering the losses for 2 years. So now the war started, there was no excuse for Jokerit to keep doing it. The public opinion, the revealing stories of the press, it's just not right that your Finnish team plays with the KHL because everybody's eyes have now finally opened. I've been touting this for 8 years and now everybody agrees with me, which is not satisfactory at all because we spent 8 years with, dealing with evil empire and Finland. Finnish league lost one of its most important teams because of one man's greed.
So what happens now?
And what happens now? So Jari Kurri is now the owner. He hasn't paid a penny. Jari Kurri made some money in NHL, but he doesn't have millions. That's probably the only reason why he hang around so long time. They paid him from 300,000 to 500,000 euros a year to be an owner. He doesn't have that kind of a money. So he's an owner, but they were able. Oligarchs probably said that, okay, we lost 80 million. So what? Keep it. Whatever. Go away. We don't need you guys anymore. They still own the arena though. But anyway, so now on the books, the team itself is 100% Finnish owned. So there are no strings attached officially. That opens a door for Jokerit to at some point join back to Finnish league, play in some other league, but Finnish league obviously is the most natural choice for them. So this is a great maneuver from whoever did that. I know that it's not Jari Kurri because he could score goals, but I don't think he can read too well, if that's a nice way to say that person is dumb. Anyway, he's the owner. Now he needs to fund the team. We don't know what's going to happen with that 80 million euro debt that's officially paid and it's in the books. Somebody has to take care of that. Maybe oligarchs will say that, okay, we don't need it. You can keep it. Move forward. That would be a great. So then Jokerit starts. They have no place to play. They don't have a rink. They don't have a league. They don't have a penny. They need a funding. They need 10 million euros right off the bat to even build a team and find a place to play. They can't play in Hartwall Arena because it's still owned by oligarchs. And because of the sanctions, nobody can do lawful business with them. The arena can't even be bought from them because of the sanctions. So they are in a status quo in that sense. But they can hang around a year without playing. I think within a year, year and a half, I mean, it would be surreal or unrealistic to even think that Jokerit might be able to play from the start of the next season in Finland. But from the start of the season after that, it might be possible, but it can't be Jari Kurri. He can't be an owner because he's not an owner. He's a puppet owner. They need 10 million euros, new money to invest. And I think Jari Kurri, unfortunately, has tarnished his reputation so badly that my personal opinion that I tweeted like a few hours ago, that in my personal opinion, he shouldn't be allowed to hold any position, none whatsoever, within the Finnish sports or hockey at all from this on. His hands are bloody.
So Vesa, it's interesting because for a lot of people, maybe in North America, we don't like Jokerit was the prize team really in Finland for the long time. Yes. That was the team that everybody wanted to play for. Yes. You grew up, if you were a Finnish boy, that's the team you wanted to play for. You mentioned about how, they need 10 million euros. Is there still the cachet with Jokerit amongst Finnish born people where someone says, hey, I'll invest because I want to bring this back to the level it was before.
There's a lot of will around that. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of people who want to bring Jokerit back. They want to have a fresh start. Okay. We can put it this way. The people who are deeply involved with Jokerit and the journey money that Jokerit was getting over the years, they have to vanish. But the brand itself, the logo and the brand and the organ, the name of the team, it hasn't. I mean, you can relocate the teams. You can put the teams from league to another. Jokerit, I don't think that the Jokerit has ever been as welcomed as it is right now in Finland, because the Finnish league, because of the COVID, it has suffered. And everybody, the Finnish league lost one of its marquee teams when they left. So of course they are welcome. Like imagine this hypothetical, super hypothetical, there would be, somebody would establish a new hockey league in Moon and they would lure Toronto Maple Leafs there or Montreal Canadiens, and they would bolt and they would go to Moon to play for a couple of years. And people would first be very, very angry and they were, I will never fucking watch any Toronto Maple Leaf game again, blah, 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 blah. After a few years, when your NHL realizes that we're lacking something, we're lacking original 16, this is not the same anymore, you turn around and you're like, okay, can we find a way to bring them back? And now now everybody tries to find a way to bring them back. They are more than welcome to come back. But Jari Kurri necessarily is not. The former owner, Harri Harkimo, is not. You know, the key people who have been eating from dirty Russian oligarchs' hands and being puppets of Kreml. I mean, we are intelligent people. We are educated people here in Finland. We don't separate sport and politics. We can separate them, but we can see that there's more in it than just the sport itself. It's a stupid, it's short-sighted argument to say that you must separate sports from politics, because when you deal with evil empire like Russia, there's nothing but politics. There's a little tiny little part of sport among the politics. But Jokerit, as an organization, is more than welcome to come back. But can it happen with Jari Kurri? He doesn't have that money. There's money involved for sure. There's already now a new groups who are, you know, forming groups. Teemu Selänne name has been mentioned. Teemu is very possible choice to become the next figure. He probably won't have $10 million to put in a hockey business, because you have to be stupid to do that in Finland to start with. So anyway, but he, you can't make money in hockey in Finland, at least for a long, long time, except, especially with Jokerit, because they don't have their own arena. Anyway, there's a great chance for Jokerit to reestablish themselves as one of the most important, most followed, most loved, most hated teams in Finnish league. And they will definitely make league better and more interesting. And that's why they're so welcome.
So what about, because what's unique about the Finnish system is Jokerit not only has their pro team, but do they not have like a complete amateur minor hockey system of the kids underneath? So what happens to those kids who are in the Jokerit system?
Like every team in Finland, it's a club system here. So every major league team has all the juniors from top to bottom. So Jokerit junior organization has been always separate from the professional team. They are different organization, but they're funded. They were funded, strongly funded by the oligarchs and by the mother team, because the team organization owns the right to the name and the logo. So the KHL team had to make a deal with the junior organization to have a right to use it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like somebody owned the copyright or the right to use the name Leafs or the logo. And if you want to play in NHL with that jersey, you have to pay me, right? Yes. So junior organization got that money from the mother organization who got their money from oligarchs. So now it's a question mark. How do they fund themselves in the future? And where do they practice and play? Because you can't use the arena anymore. They had their practice ring underneath the big arena there. So, but eventually most of the junior sports, not only hockey, but most of other sports like in Canada is paid by parents. So they will find a way and they will be all right. It's a very nice, it's a fine junior organization. Their top A team from, which is a major junior team, is one of the best teams in Finland, top three. Their second tier team is one of the best. So the junior organization is in very good shape. And it's in very good hands, but they have got ties from the Russian money, and the Russian money can't move anymore because of the sanctions.
So but I only got two more quick ones for you, Vess. I really appreciate your time. The about the arena, the Hartwall Arena, like the brewery's name was on there. They took their name off of it from what I read in one of your articles a while back. So what, and this is a brand new facility.
No, it's not brand new. It was built back in 1997.
Okay.
But it's a good building. It's almost NHL level arena. It's 13,000 seats. It's still modern, very good arena.
So right, what's going to happen to it?
It rottens. It rottens because of the sanctions and because it's owned by Russian oligarchs who are on the sanction list. Nobody can do business with them. First of all, they're going to close the doors on May 1st. They have announced that. They are officially going to close the doors and they are waiting for a way for some new investor to buy it. But because of the sanctions, you can't really buy anything from the people who are on the sanction list, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, the best guess is that it rottens away. It sits there and rottens away. We all know that the building like that, it won't, collapse in 2 years. But if you don't maintain it, constantly and take good care of it, it fastens the collapsing process. And right now they don't have any money, no money coming in. So I don't think they can afford to maintain it for too long. So the future of the building is very, very shady. And the laws around and the ways to buy it. I know that there are groups in Finland who have that kind of money that they're willing to buy it. They are willing to buy it. They are willing to bring Jokerit to play there, which would be a great fit in many different ways. But right now, when the war goes on, when the sanctions are on, it's practically impossible to lawfully buy the arena. Okay. And now when there's no money and there are no concerts, nothing happens in the arena because it's on the sanction list, there's no money to run it. So it starts to rot, and it rottens already. It's going to collapse in 10 years if nothing happens. And it might take 10 years because this freaking war might take 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and I know that if Finland and Sweden are seriously considering joining NATO for the first time, just to protect themselves. So they're not in the same situation of Ukraine, which I know isn't sports related, but it's pretty scary and life related for sure. Now, one last one about that. Is it true that the practice arena at the Hartwall is 40 meters underground? In a rock, is that true?
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's 40 meters, but it's underground. It's underneath, and it's a very common way to build rinks here in Finland. I spent my childhood playing in a rink like that where I come from, Tampere. There's actually four or five rinks, practice rinks, like I don't know, 100 meters underground.
Now, is that due to back in the war when you guys were bombed, you decided that everything's going to kind of almost be like a bomb shelter?
It's only because the land is so expensive. It's easier. It's cheaper to build your rink underneath because, you are under you already bought the space, the ground space, and the land is very expensive and nobody charges you if you build down.
Really?
Yeah. It's a cheaper way to build a practice rink than build a rink next to your rink, right?
Okay.
Just dig it under and put it there.
So that's a common practice in Finland is you've got the underground practice.
It's not a common practice. Most likely you want to have your rink on earth, right? Not underneath, but it's done in several occasions.
So, and Vesa, I really appreciate this. You mentioned Jari Kurri, and Jari Kurri for the longest time was like, you know, one of the most popular Finnish players of all time, one of the most successful Finnish players of all time. Yeah. And you know what? He went back, he worked with Finnish hockey for a long time. You mentioned his reputation has been sullied a little bit because of this. Do you think over time it's able to repair itself? Could he?
I'm sure it could because he's a Hall of Famer and he's still, because of his, what he achieved in his career. And he's from head to toe, he's a gentleman. He's a true, very well-mannered gentleman. But if you dig your hands too deep in Ukrainian blood, it takes time to wash them off completely. He hasn't been very good at, you know, explaining people why he's so heavily involved with the KHL. He was a member of their board, for fuck's sakes. He just a week ago resigned from the board. He hasn't been able to, you know, tell firmly that, okay, this is, the war is not a good thing. I don't know, is he so dependent on the Russian dirty money, or is he just a useful idiot, or is he only so freaking dumb that he doesn't understand the big picture? But he has completely tarnished his social reputation, the career never goes away. The five Stanley Cups never goes away. The Hall of Fame placard never goes away. But as a human being in today's society, he has lost the respect he had because of his sports career.
And lastly, Vesa, in Finland right now, can you explain to us, where we're far away in, you know, in Canada and North America, just how concerned you are as a Finnish person? Because, you know, Russia has invaded Finland before. I know there's a long-standing angst between Finnish people and Russia, and rightfully so. There's talk of joining NATO. I know that we're here first talking sports, but in the real world, how concerned are Finnish people right now about what's going on around them?
People used tend to go to their everyday lives, and we are all busy, and we go to work or school, or we have our kids or whatever, but we are scared. We are definitely scared. I am scared. I watch the news. I read the stories. I've read the history. I'm probably more scared than an average Joe, but it's every time we meet with the friends, it's a topic we talk about. We have 1,300 kilometers of common border with them. We have the history with them. And now that when they have showed, as our president said, their true face, they, especially during this process, when we have this discussion that should we, you know, apply for NATO membership, and we know that Russia will take aggression to stop that, and they it would be totally against them. So the only reason why we haven't put our application in yet is that people on a high political level are hesitant, because we don't want to make them too angry right now, because there's crazy man sitting right by the nuke button, and after what they do and what they still are doing in Ukraine, people don't have any doubts about the cruelness of the country and the army they have. So it's a very big concern, and we all are prepared to a long, long haul with this massive problem right around our border.
Well, Vesa, we wish you all the best. Thank you so much for your honesty.
Thank you.
And your candidness. Thanks for joining us on the DFO Rundown. You're our first live from Finland guest, so I really appreciate that. And we
call
hope
me again. To talk to you anytime. Again,
you betcha.
Anytime. Hey, Thank you. Take care. Nice to talk to you. And to all my Canadian friends who happen to be online, I wish you the best.
Vesa Rantanen, our guest today on the DFO Rundown. I thought it was important to talk about what's going on in Helsinki and for hockey, but then obviously there's the political landscape, and, you know, Vesa, we wanted him on because he's very honest and he didn't pull any punches. That was very insightful on what's going on. And, you know, hopefully Jokerit can get back playing, but as Vesa said, for the right reasons, with the right people running it. And it's a reminder in sports that, you know, what's going on in Russia has huge impacts, not just politically, but also in a lot of different sporting events in Finland and other neighboring countries. So Frank will join us again on Monday. I hope you all have a wonderful Good Friday and Easter weekend, and then good luck with the egg hunt with all your kids. Hopefully the Easter Bunny makes it challenging for you, and we'll talk about a weekend, and we'll see where the playoff races are on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.